This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We have a two-part program today. State Representative Alex Scarlato is joining us in the second segment. But in first, it's Douglas Care's Executive Director, Sarah Wickersham. Thanks for coming over.
Hi, Kyle.
So you are settling into that new building on Diamond Lake Boulevard. How's that going so far?
Oh, the building is just beautiful. It's so much bigger than our last building, and it's so well appointed to our needs. It's a really beautiful space to practice out of and to welcome kids in.
Now, we've talked about this a little bit before, and we're talking about it today because you have an open house coming up, which we'll get to in a minute. But what are some of the things that you can do better at this location?
Well, in this location, we have the two different main bodies of services that we do for our agency separated so that we can provide our investigative forensic services on one side of the building and keep them very separate from our mental health services. We also have state-of-the-art facilities, a brand new, much bigger medical clinic with an attached bathroom and shower to better serve the kiddos that we take care of. Our interview room is brand new, well-appointed, meeting all the best standards in the industry for kids' comfort and for the technology, for the ability to be able to hear what the kiddo is saying and capture that effectively. On the other side of the building, our mental health wing, we have spaces dedicated to the therapeutic services that we provide. So we have a meditation room, kind of a sensory space where it's quiet and calming. We have a playroom for big body movements with a trampoline and mats. We have an art room so that we can do art therapy, and a big group room so that we can take care of larger groups of kids and people at the same time.
Wow, a trampoline.
We have a little trampoline. It's a little trampoline.
All right. And you don't have, like, staff using it at other times?
I've got a couple, yeah. Okay. It's therapeutic for us also.
Well, you probably got a good point for that. How does the overall, like, the atmosphere compare to what you had before?
There's something about spaces that are new and clean and well cared for that give the impression when somebody comes in that they are also well cared for, that they have value. A lot of times social services, especially nonprofits that always worry about money, they don't get to have these nice spaces. And then the kids who are hurt, who are coming to us for care, think that they're not that valuable, that they don't matter that much. And the most important piece of this building is that it gives our kids, our county's kids that have been hurt, the knowledge that they are cared for, that they matter, that we're giving our best to them.
And it's probably got to be also helpful that this isn't just a building that was new and available. This was designed specifically for what you're doing.
Yes, that's right. The developer, Guy Kennerly, he let me put kind of a napkin sketch, he said, together for how I wanted the building to look and how it would and how it would best meet the needs of the kind of work that we do, because it is unique. There's nobody else who does quite the same mix of services that we do and has those specialized needs for the rooms. So yes, it's exactly what we were looking for with the kinds of services we provide.
So talk about this open house, not tomorrow, but next Saturday.
Next Friday.
Or next Friday.
Next Friday. During the open house, we are not providing services that day. So the whole building will be open. We have a community session from 9 to 11 where anybody in the community can come and check out what we do, take a tour, have some refreshments with us. And hear from all the members of our team the specialized services that they provide. And so that tour will start on the forensic wing of the building, and you'll get to walk through all the spaces in the order that the kids see them. So you'll see what it's like for a child to come into our building and come in for a forensic interview or come in for a medical exam and see all the spaces that we have built for them to keep them feeling safe and comfortable when they have to do something very difficult. And then the tour continues on into the mental health wing, and we can show you every room there and the things that we do with each of those spaces.
Wow. So it really gives people an opportunity and one that they wouldn't normally have because you're obviously not really open to the public normally.
Yes, that's correct. We are a secure facility, and we take great care to provide for the confidentiality and the safety of the kids that we serve. So most of the time, if you just show up at our door, unless we really have no kids in the building, we won't be able to take you on a tour to show you all the things there. So this is a unique opportunity, and we would love to have you come down and check us out.
So are there still needs you have for this facility?
We always have need for donations of clothing for our clothing closet. A lot of the children we serve don't have access to clean, unstained clothes. And particularly when we have children who come in for sexual assault exams, they surrender their clothing as so that it can be tested for DNA and it's other like fibers and things that are left on the clothes. So we always want to make sure that they have a nice, clean, trendy outfit to go home in when they have that experience.
All right. And as you look ahead, what do you see down the road for Douglas Cares?
The next phase of our building project is going to be putting together our outdoor playscape. And this is a space that we're designing off the side of the building and past the parking lot. It'll be fully surrounded by fencing, and it'll have grass and natural features, as well as smaller little nooks of corners where we can provide therapeutic services outside, more big body movement spaces. So some kids just need to run it off, right? We can also do our skills training and play therapy outdoors in nature. So that's the next phase of our project. And we will be asking for donations when we're at that stage.
Do you have any idea what the timeline is for that?
I was hoping to break ground this summer. If we can pull together the funds, we will still plan on that. If we can't, then it will be next spring.
And how long do you think it would take to put that all together?
Because it's mostly natural and some cement sidewalks on a basketball hoop, I think it could be completed within 2 months. It's not a big build.
And any updates on things that you're able to do service-wise?
Yes, we our Roots program is fully up and running. That is serving teens who have experienced child abuse or neglect and have turned to some type of addiction or problem behavior. So we can treat substance abuse as well as technology addictions, porn addictions, eating disorders, problem gambling, all within our Roots program.
And that's interesting because probably going through what the kids have gone through probably does lead to more of these situations as just a coping mechanism.
Absolutely. We know that adverse childhood experiences five of those potential adverse childhood experiences are child abuse specific out of 10, lead to increases in all kinds of health concerns and all kinds of health concerning behaviors, but most specifically addiction to substances or drugs, as well as all the other things that we mentioned, problem gambling, eating disorders. And that's because we're looking to cope, because we're looking to soothe a pain that was caused a long time ago. And it's not necessarily the right choice for how to soothe it, but it's soothing it in the moment.
All right. And again, remind people what time, what day next week?
So May 30th, Friday next week, open to the community from 9 to 11 a.m. We have a separate block of time for our partners, law enforcement, DHS, and the DA's office. And then we also have a sponsors event. So for those of who helped donate to make this project come to reality, we have a special evening of gratitude planned for them.
All right, Sarah Wickersham of Douglas Cares, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming at 1. Our second segment today, State Representative Alec Scarlatos, the Oregon State Legislature continuing on. For Alec, how many more days is the session scheduled for?
Oh, don't ask me that. I just go till they tell us we're done.
So I think you're around 37 now, something like that. Overall, how do you feel like your first session is going for you?
Well, it's going pretty well. The session also wraps up depending on what we get done. It can end anywhere from June 18th to June 28th. I think it's going pretty well right now. We're just now getting into some controversial stuff. I'm not sure if you heard, but the Democrats sidelined the wildfire map fix, and they're trying to use it. Basically, they're holding hostage until they can get some Republicans to vote for some tax increases in their transportation package, which I think is a shame because the fire map fix passed the Senate unanimously. Every single senator voted for it. There's no reason why it shouldn't go to the floor and pass immediately. But again, it's a political tactic. And I think now this last month or so of session are when things are going to get really interesting.
Yeah, in fact, we are running a story on that today with some information we got from the Senate Republican Caucus. What are some of the hottest issues right now?
Really, that is the only issue being talked about right now, that and the transportation package. The issue with the transportation package is some Republicans have been negotiating with the Democrats as to what they think is a better option. Unfortunately, it's basically cap and trade, and so I'm going to be wholeheartedly against it. And so dealing with the transportation package, because something does need to be done, we just, of course, disagree completely as to what we need and what the solution would be.
Now, I know that you have been involved with some things involving veterans because of your committee assignments. Talk about that.
Yeah, of course. We passed, I think, HCR 23 that honored the civilians that served at Wake Island. Some of them were taken POW. A lot of them were murdered by the Japanese when they took over Wake Island in World War II. We also did House Bill 3920, which just expanded the age limit for tuition assistant for children of disabled veterans and Purple Heart recipients. I think we did 808, which gives job preference to members of the National Guard that don't officially have veteran status, and then Senate Bill 159, which added veteran plates for motorcycles and mopeds. I tried to get mopeds knocked off, but I was assured that there's some veterans in Portland that drive mopeds, so we allowed it.
There's more of those out there than you might think in a lot of places. I see them out definitely around Roseburg as well. Is there among your committee assignments, is this, I don't know if the right term is favorite one, but one that you particularly feel connected to?
Honestly, probably the General Government Emergency Management and Veterans Committee is probably my favorite. I like doing the veterans bills just because I'm a veteran. It's something I'm connected to, but also just it's something I'm very knowledgeable on, and some of the members of the committee are not veterans. So it's kind of a chance for me to educate other members on the committee as to what veterans actually go through, what services they need, which ones they don't, and how to not get in their way when it comes to, receiving benefits and help. And also the general government side of that same committee is kind of a catch-all for a lot of interesting bills. Like a couple months ago, we had the Treasurer's Bill, which wanted to divest PERS from any kind of fossil fuels, which I was, of course, wholeheartedly against. But every once in a while, just from the general government side of that committee, we get some really interesting stuff coming through.
Do you feel like this committee is more bipartisan?
Yes, Probably more so than most, because, you know, everyone does want to, you know, help veterans. We just disagree as to how sometimes. The general government side does get pretty partisan at times. I'm also on the Economic Development and Trade Committee with, you know, Virgil Osborne, for instance. And that one is pretty bipartisan as well, simply because they put a lot of the more moderate Democrats on that committee, and a lot of the, you know, business owners who are Democrats are on that committee. So we tend to agree on a lot on that committee, which is actually kind of a breath of fresh air.
Now, talk about some of the things that you're learning. I mean, any experience, any job, any new thing, you always learn stuff a lot the first year. For this first term, what are some of the things you've learned?
Well, so far, it's about what I expected, but I would say that now that we're getting into some of the more contentious stuff, I'm definitely learning how the Democrats try to poach Republican votes. Because for some of the things they do need us, like for tax bills, so they need a couple Republicans to pass any kind of new tax, because I think it's 2/3 or 3/5 majority for those. And so seeing kind of what happens in the background as far as negotiations that most people aren't a part of, like with this transportation package, it's not something I like, but I definitely understand why they do it. And they, you know, they hold hostage things like the fire map. They'll hold hostage money for your district and projects in your district that you need money for. And they'll say, you know, we won't give you the money for this project unless you vote on this tax increase or something like that. So kind of starting to see the dark underbelly of politics as we get later in session is something that I'm a little disheartened by. And frankly, up until this point in session, things have been pretty bipartisan, and not incredibly contentious. You know, we disagree on a lot, but it's something you can still be friends with some Democrats after the fact. But now we're getting into some really interesting, underhanded dealings, and holding bills hostage that are incredibly popular so that they can get less popular things passed.
And are you seeing that coming from both sides of the aisle?
Well, unfortunately, it's just coming from the Democrats, because Republicans don't have the power to hold anything hostage. You know, the only thing we can say is, no, we won't vote for a tax vote or tax increase, because they do need, I think, like two of our votes. They need two Republicans to vote with them on any kind of tax increase. So we can just say, no, we're not going to do that unless we get X, Y, or Z. But unfortunately, at the state level, I mean, they have super majorities in both houses. There's really nothing we can actually do to stop them. So since they do need a little bit of our help on like these tax bills, they're just holding stuff hostage. So unfortunately, it doesn't really go the other way, because Republicans don't have the power to really do anything or stand up to them. And there'll probably always be one or two Republicans that are willing to take a bad vote in exchange for money for their district or a project in their district. And again, I just don't think that those kinds of things that are good governance should be tied to them taking a bad vote.
How do you see this transportation package playing out? What do you think the ultimate end will be?
I'm really not sure, and it's my first session, so I haven't really seen how these complex, controversial negotiations tend to play out. It seems like the Democrats are proposing two plans, bad and worse, and the Republicans have a pretty common sense approach when it comes to cutting a lot of things at the Department of Transportation that aren't necessary. It would save, I think it was almost $700 million out of their budget. So I would like to see the Department of Transportation get a little bit more lean and cut some of these unnecessary programs and actually focus on their core mission of actually paving roads. So of course I'm going to support the Republican alternative. But at the end of the day, we know that Republicans don't have the votes to get anything like that passed. So it's really a choice of what kind of reforms Republicans think we can actually get through into these two terrible transportation packages that are being proposed by the Democrats. I'm probably going to be a no regardless, just because neither of, I mean, both the bills being proposed by the Democrats are basically a non-starter for me. So I'll probably be a no regardless, but it's just really, I have no idea as to where we're actually going to end up.
All right, we'll talk again soon. From Salem, State Representative Alex Scarlatos, thanks for being on.
Thanks so much for having me.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.